Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of the Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, we hear the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. In it he says what life eternal is, what the purpose of our life is, because the purpose of our life is to have eternal life. Now let us understand what eternal life is. Eternal life, our Lord says, is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is to know God. How does one know God? He says in his own prayer here that he was with the Father before all things, that he shared in the glory of God the Father before all the ages. How can we know God and know Jesus Christ? This is a question which you must be able to answer. It is not one which you answer with words. It is one which you answer with deeds. It is one which you answer with desire. It is one which you answer with the ordering of your priorities, what you consider important, what you cast away, how you live. Eternal life, the knowledge of God, is gained by following our Lord's example. He said he accomplished the work which his Father gave him to do. What is this work? We all know Jesus Christ was incarnate of a virgin. We all know that he lived a life of austerity, perfection, humility, teaching, that he died on the cross, that he rose again on the third day, that he ascended into heaven, and that the Holy Spirit was sent upon the church shortly after his ascension. We know all these things. But that's not the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is becoming what he has predestined us to become. The work that he accomplished was that he made us capable of becoming perfect, capable of knowing true holiness, capable of completion, of lacking nothing, capable of wisdom, of peace, capable of the knowledge of God. Now, just because we are capable doesn't mean that we will attain this. The way it is attained is to enter into our Lord's life and the life of those whom he has helped through the ages and are now examples to us, the holy saints. If you cannot enter into Gethsemane, you cannot enter into the resurrection. Our Lord accomplished a work. The work was to make us capable of knowing him and to show us how we can know him. You cannot know purity without becoming pure. You cannot know holiness without becoming holy. A violent man does not understand forgiveness. An angry man does not understand humility. For us to understand these perfect virtues, we must live with an effort to attain them. Now, our Lord in Gethsemane ended up sweating drops of blood because of his anguish. His anguish over our condition, his desire that all of us would be saved and yet many of us would not, because although he has made all flesh capable of knowing him, many turn away from God. Even if they praise him with their lips, they don't obey him, his all holy commandments, his perfect will, with their life. Our Lord made us able, but in order to attain to perfection, we must live according to his model. Now, our Lord, when he was on the earth, he never laughed. Did you know that? Our Lord never laughed. Now, there are those who would like to say God has a sense of humor. And there's even a long time ago a blasphemous movie which portrayed God as a clown. But our Lord never laughed. He was a man of sorrows. He was sorrowful because he desired all of us to know the truth. Knowing the truth is not in the head, it is in the way we live. Because he knows that the truth truly sets you free. True freedom. Such a one who knows the truth, living in the truth, is free indeed. Free from anything that is evil, that anything that constrains us. He was sorrowful because so many will not understand the truth, although they will give it lip service. We also must have sorrow in our life. The recent teaching among those who call themselves Christian, I say recent maybe several hundred years, that somehow sorrow is not part of the Christian life, is a terrible lie. Sorrow should always be with joy. Joy because the Lord has made us able to know him, to become perfect, to have absolute joy. And sorrow because we are so weak and we so seldom give him heartfelt thanksgiving. This is the kind of sorrow a Christian should have, brothers and sisters. You should have sorrow that you have sins. Sorrow that the Lord wishes for you perfection, and you turn again and again to that which is temporary, that which is broken, that which is unholy. That's the kind of sorrow a Christian must have. But always mixed with joy, and always mixed with hope. A Christian should not go around all day long morose and depressed. But he should have this lively hope of the resurrection. The knowledge that God has accomplished for him this task of making flesh able to see God. All you need do is cleave to God like a child. Hold on to him. Struggle to follow the commandments. I tell you, you need not be so concerned if you have sins. You need be very concerned if you are not struggling against your sins. A man who struggles, a man who repents continually, not just once in a while, but all the time concerning his sins, such a one will be saved. Didn't the Lord say that the harlots and the tax collectors are entering into heaven before the Pharisees? The harlots and the tax collectors are us, brothers and sisters, if we are worthy of the title. those who are sinners who repent of their sins, those who recognize that they are imperfect, recognize that they are lacking, and are sorry that they are tarnishing the image of God which they have been given. May it be that we are like those harlots and tax collectors. We already share in many of their sins. Let us share in their virtues. Let us understand what eternal life truly is. Eternal life is not baptism. Eternal life is not receiving the holy mysteries. Eternal life is not saying that you are an Orthodox Christian. Eternal life is the knowledge of God, which can be obtained through the holy mysteries, through baptism, through being an Orthodox Christian, only if you desire with your heart, all of your heart, to follow the commandments. And when you do not follow the commandments, when you fall short, you have sorrow and desire to change, then you can obtain eternal life. Our Lord took on our flesh, and yet he was before all ages and had the same glory as God the Father, and yet he took on our flesh for us to understand this mystery. We have to become like him. We have to live virtuously. We have to follow the commandments, every single one of them. We have to order our life that the only thing that is important is to be holy and to follow our Lord's commandments. If we do this, then we will grow in the knowledge of God and happiness that no one can take away from us. Happiness that will be inside and will spring up like a life-giving fount of waters, continually refreshing us, no matter what condition in life we are, poor, rich, sick, hungry, persecuted. It doesn't matter if we are following the commandments, the Lord will give us joy. So often we try to obtain knowledge. The Lord made us in such a way that we desire knowledge. What is entertainment but really the seeking of knowledge for a little while that pleases us? The Lord gave us curiosity. Let us be curious about the holy things of God. Let us desire to enter in to the life of Christ so that we can truly know him. Now, we cannot have his essence, but he gives us the privilege, the opportunity to actually see his face and to not die. To have nothing lacking, to be full of happiness, nothing corrupt, nothing changing, always growing old, but being ever new and ever young. The only way to obtain this eternal life, this knowledge of God, is to live according to the commandments. This is why we speak of them so often. This is why we have fasting, because fasting helps us to rule ourselves. Sometimes we can do little else but keep the fast because of our sins. But it is an anchor for us, and it helps us to follow the weightier measures of the law. Love, mercy, humility, and all the rest. We cannot truly understand love until we live with effort to be like Christ lived. Our Lord wants us to be one with Him as He is one with God the Father. Do you understand the immensity of such a statement, of such a desire? To be one as God the Father is one with His Son? What a privilege! If we are to be one with God, then we must live virtuously. We must desire to be holy. We must order our lives in every detail so that we can know Christ. Then we can be one with God. We can't even fathom this. We can't understand it. The saints do. The more you live with virtue, the more the Lord opens up your mind. The more you understand the true nature of things. You know, the will of the image of God that God created us in is that He made us rational creatures, able to choose. When we tarnish this image, we cannot think rationally. We cannot choose correctly. The knowledge of God is that we know the nature of things, the true nature of things, and we're able, we have the strength of will to choose the good always. Beg the Lord that you would have this will. Beg the Lord that you would have this wisdom. But don't only ask Him. Also, every opportunity you have, choose good. And when you are not able to choose good, beg the Lord to help you. And then you will be like those harlots and those tax collectors that repented and that are entering into the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord grant you to know Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent. Amen.